Hi, this is Ken McCarthy of Jazz on the Tube, and today we're going to talk about a lot of my favorite subjects with one of my favorite people, Bobby Sanabria. This topic, you'll see when we get into it how important it is. As our viewers know, we're really into education, and that's actually our primary mission. That's one of the reasons we put all the videos up. That's the reason we make sure everybody knows about people's birthdays, make sure people know about people's passing. We don't just put famous musicians up there, you know, world famous, but we try to give as many musicians exposure as possible. And I came across this thing. I didn't even know about it. It's my ignorance, but hey, you know, I cured it. A great program that Bobby's involved with. Some of you may have heard our interview with Bobby a couple of weeks back. I'm going to put a link to it below so that you can hear it. I strongly recommend that you listen to it. Your understanding and appreciation of the depth and complexity of American music is going to expand exponentially after you listen to that call. But today we're going to drill down and focus on a really cool initiative that hits a lot of our buttons here. It is a Latin jazz band camp for kids, and I just can't imagine anything better. It's in its 13th year, and Bobby is the artistic director of it. And Bobby, first of all, welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thanks again for having me on. It's a privilege and an honor. And hello to all your listeners.
Well, the pleasure's all ours, really. And let's start a little bit about the background. Now, this camp is in the honor and memory of Robert Ocasio. Could you tell us, Roberto, is it Robert or Roberto?
Roberto Ocasio.
Roberto Ocasio. And tell us a little bit about him. And obviously, he was a beloved person that this whole program has been named after him and continues.
Right. Well, Roberto was a native New York Rican like myself. That meant his parents were from Puerto Rico, but he was born and raised, in his case, in Brooklyn, New York. And then as a young man, his parents migrated to the Cleveland area. There was a big migration of Puerto Ricans to the Cleveland area to work in the steel industry there and in the auto industry. Anyway, he then eventually, I met him at the Berklee College of Music when I was a sophomore. He came into the school. And that meant there were two New York Ricans at the school then.
Right. You were number one. He was number two.
Yeah. So we obviously struck up a bond, a friendship. He was a pianist. And then after I graduated, I went on. My career started with Mongo Santa Maria, and we lost track over the years. But in the meantime, he had formed a Latin jazz group in the Cleveland area, a salsa band as well. And basically, he brought that culture and music to the Cleveland area. And we reconnected at an old International Association of Jazz Educators conference. And that organization has been replaced now by the Jazz Education Network, JEN. But the old IAJE was all about education, just like JEN is today. And he came to it, and we saw each other, and I was giving a performance in a master class. And I asked the man, Roberto, what have you been up to? And he filled me in on what I just said. And also he said that he wanted to start a camp, a Latin jazz camp for high school kids, grades 8 through 12. So I said, man, it's a great idea. And I gave him some suggestions, et cetera, et cetera. And then unfortunately, he passed away in a car accident that same year of 2005, I believe, or 2004. But he had told his manager, Bev Montine, who is the executive director of the camp, if anything ever happens to me, call Bobby. So the camp started in 2005, and I came in 2006, and I've been the artist in residence and artistic director ever since. And the camp has grown exponentially, and we've been at several locations, Baldwin, Wallace College, there's a very well-known conservatory and other venues. But now, for the last few years, we've been at Case Western Reserve University in the downtown Cleveland area, and they have modern facilities. It's really fantastic. And this camp is for 4 days, and we start at 9 in the morning, and we don't finish until 10 at night. And it's very intensive. The kids are just bombarded from the beginning that they wake up to the evening in rehearsals, jam sessions, improv classes, theory classes, history classes, because it's important, as you know, to learn about the history of the music. We have field trips. There's one night where they have to, where they get a dance lesson, and they actually go out to go dancing, and they have to get dressed up just like in the old days.
That's great.
And they get to perform a big concert in a big band setting on the last day. That's free and open to the public. And it's great for the kids because they stay on campus. They get three meals a day. And last year, they even got to play at the Cleveland Indians game on July 4th.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. There's actually a video of that on YouTube.
Oh, okay.
You know, they have a tradition of playing in the seventh inning stretch, God Bless America. So I did a little arrangement of God Bless America in clave as a New Orleans second line thing. And they actually played it. People all over the country saw it on nationwide TV. So that was a fun thing that they got to do last year. And last year they got to play with the U.S. Army Jazz Ambassadors Big Band. They got to do a concert with them. So that, it's funny, that orchestra opened up for the kids. and the musicians in that band, all of the service bands, are really extremely highly professional. They were very, very surprised at the level of music the kids were playing.
So let's talk about... Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So anyway, the camp is in its 13th year. It's very unique. It's the only camp of its kind in the world at this point. Although, who knows, probably people have been noticing what we've been doing and either have ideas to do the same thing or are going to do it. But we were the first, and right now we're the only ones that are doing this. It's hilarious to me because, well, not to me, but friends and colleagues go, a Latin jazz camp for high school kids, shouldn't that be happening in New York City? And I start going, yeah, but it isn't. But it's happening in Cleveland. But as a native son of New York, I'm proud to be the artistic director and the artist in residence. So.
Well, it takes the commitment. I mean, it's amazing that Roberto, in the first year, was already planning potential succession, you know, just in case he had a plan in mind. That's how committed he was to it.
Right, right. And I tell you, I mean, the kids that we've gotten are from all over the country, and some of them, and many of them have gone on to become college students or professional, go on to the college level and obviously become professional musicians. And I have to thank some of the sponsors, like Latin Percussion, the people I endorse that make the instruments that I use, Vicfirth drumsticks, Remo drumheads, Sabian cymbals, Tama drums, the Cuyahoga Arts and Cultural Center, Giant Eagle, which is a big, huge supermarket chain in the Midwest, the Jazz Education Connection organization as well. So we have quite a few organizations that are supporting this, and also a Key Bank, which is a local bank in the Cleveland area. So, I mean, it's a big endeavor. I'm wasted by the end of the week.
Because
the great thing about the camp is that everybody gets personal attention from me, because it isn't a large camp. It isn't like we have 500 kids there or 300 kids or over 100 kids like in a lot of these jazz camps across the country. It's basically about 30 kids, and they get individual attention, all of them, between myself and the instructors that we have there. So they really get hands-on training, and they get in 4 days what they would get like in 4 weeks. A lot of these camps across the country are 3 weeks, 2 weeks, 4 weeks, etc. But the kids have been, and the parents are really amazed at what they get to learn in just 4 days of intense study. And they get three meals a day, and they get the experience of being at a modern college campus, what it is to be, you know, away from home and staying on a college campus.
What a great experience. And this is for grades 8 through 12?
Exactly, high school kids. The amazing thing is, too, is it's only $700. You get everything included. Obviously, you have to pay to get there. But so if you're from California or Alaska or anywhere else, Florida, you have to fly and get to the camp. But it's $700 and includes everything, room and board, everything, materials, everything.
and all the trips and all the other activities.
That's the fun thing about the camp too, that it isn't all like intense study. We these cultural field trips that we do are really fun. They also get one day out of, we have a big, huge Afro-Caribbean dinner, lunch, one of the days, one of the afternoons. So they get to savor the native foods of Cuba, Puerto Rico, and the Dominican Republic. So that's really fun.
If somebody knows a young person who loves music, I think this would be an amazing experience for them. What's the application process like, and how does one go about getting into this?
Well, it's very simple. They can call Bev Montari, who's the executive director, directly. Her number is 440-572-2048. I'll repeat it, 440-572-2048. You can apply also online. Go to the website, which is robertoocasiofoundation.org. I'll spell it out. R as in Robert, O as in Oscar, B as in Bobby, E as in Edgar, R as in Robert, T as in Thomas, O as in Oscar, O again as in Oscar, C as in cat, A as in apple, S as in Sam, I as in Indiana, O, and then the word foundation, foundation.org. So they can go directly there for more info and an application. They can also see videos, et cetera, of past camp performances, more information, a lot of great pictures, et cetera. So there's several videos of past performances of our, some of our concerts on YouTube as well. And maybe as part of Jazz on the Tube, maybe some of those, one or two of those videos can be put up. I'll send you some links so that you can check some of the stuff out. But we
think
the music that the students perform isn't some simple kind of a thing. This is college level, professional level music they'll be working on and that I select. And we've done everything from the music of Don Ellis, who is, those of your listeners who know, was probably the most advanced musician in the history of jazz. He worked a lot in what we call odd meters, to the music of Ellington, the music of Machito, Tito Puente, Tito Rodriguez, and new compositions as well that we do that I play, that is part of the repertoire that I play in my own multi-Grammy-nominated professional big band and in the big band that I teach that's been nominated for Grammys as well at the Manhattan School of Music. So this is not kiddie stuff that we're doing. We're really teaching these kids to play some really, really advanced, challenging music on a very highly professional level. So, and the extra added attraction is the cultural field trips, obviously the concert that they get to do, but also they get to learn about the history of the music, they get to do jam sessions, there's private practice time, private lessons as well, theory, improv, it's all that in a bag of chips, as we would say in the front.
And you got a faculty too. I'm just going to read the names that I've got in my notes and tell me if I'm wrong on any of them, but you've got, and the trombone faculty is Paul Ferguson.
Well, Paul is great because he's the leader, he's the musical director of the Cleveland Jazz Orchestra. So
he's
a fantastic player and composer, arranger as well.
If you got a kid who in your family or in your town that loves trombone, this would be an amazing opportunity. And then Jackie Warren teaching piano.
Well, Jackie's probably the finest pianist in the Midwest, you know, I mean, she's been doing some work in New York City. She works regularly also with that great all-female jazz big band Diva. But Jackie is an incredibly fabulous player and great, a lot of experience playing Afro-Cuban-based music from the jazz perspective and from the dance perspective as well. Great educator as well.
Great, great. And yeah, not every great musician in the world decides they want to live in New York. The Midwest is a very pleasant place to hang, and that's where some people are based. And then on bass, you have Peter Dominguez.
Well, Peter is an amazing musician. I mean, he's a faculty member at, but the fabulous, fabulous bass player. He's played with everybody, Paquito de Rivera, everybody. He's an amazing player and an amazing educator too. So if you're a bass player and you really want to get into playing this music, you can learn from a master. And Peter also plays, besides acoustic bass, electric bass as well. So some of the students we've gotten in the past concentrate more on acoustic. Others just play electric, so Peter can handle both of those things.
Yeah. Great. And people who don't know might be surprised when they look into it how many contributions, you know, Afro-Caribbean musicians have made to the development of the bass as an instrument, you know, above and beyond just a, you know, rhythm keeper or a, you know, background or, you know, rhythm section. I mean, this, the virtuosity, a lot of the creative uses of the bass were really innovated by Afro-Caribbean musicians. So this is an important music you got to learn if you're a bass player. You're really missing out if you don't know it. And then on the...
I just remembered. Peter's the head of the bass faculty over at Oberlin College.
Oh, wow.
At the Oberlin Conservatory. And, you know, I was talking about his mastery of both the acoustic and the electric bass. Well, Peter's also a fabulous classical musician, too. So if you're a bass student who comes from that background, he'd be able to bridge the gap for you. And like I said, he plays with everybody. I mean, I just mentioned Paquito de Rivera as a reference point, but he's played with everybody from Woody Shaw to Tommy Flanagan. I mean, and he, as a classical musician, he's toured with the American Sinfonietta Orchestra. So, I mean, you can't get any better than Peter in terms of bass instruction.
I wish I was in high school. This is incredible.
I wish I was in high school, too. If this was around when I was a kid, forget it. I mean, although we had more opportunities when I was a kid to learn from, as we say, the university of the streets, but that isn't the case anymore in terms of the jazz world. Everything has been concentrated now into academia. But the thing about the faculty that we have, and myself included, obviously, is we have that connection to the real world. And that's what you really want when you want to learn about any style of music, people that are actually playing this music and doing it on a high professional level. Because ultimately, it really doesn't matter how many degrees you have or whatever. It's the knowledge that you have and the real world life experience. Although I'm a trained musician and I have my bachelor's in music from the Berklee College of Music, I always say I got my master's degree and my doctorate degree in the streets of New York and on the road all over the world with all the people that I've played with. So that real world experience that I bring and the rest of the faculty brings is very important. And you'll get it when you come to the camp.
Absolutely. And just to go through some of the other faculty too, on the reeds, saxes, flute and clarinet, Dave Casper.
Oh, Dave is an amazing musician, man. He's a master of like all the saxophones, but my favorite instrument that he plays is the baritone saxophone. But he's a great, what we call doubler. In other words, Dave can play all the flutes, alto, clarinet, soprano saxophone, tenor saxophone as well. So, and he does a lot of work in the world of Latin music and jazz in the Cleveland area, but he also does a lot of theater work. So whenever a Broadway show comes into the Cleveland area, he's usually on that, you know, doing that. So, and he works in a lot of different styles of music besides Latin and jazz. He works in the world of Afro pop music and that music associated with people like Fela and funk and also New Orleans second line music. So anybody that comes into the camp that plays saxophone is going to have a great opportunity to work with another master who's out there doing it and has real-world experience. And especially, I always tell young saxophonists, listen, if you're going to make a living in music, you have to be able to play flute and some clarinet and soprano saxophone. And that's the biggest barrier that most young saxophonists have. that keeps them from becoming really true working professionals, that they're not good doublers. And Dave is, and especially in Latin music, saxophone is required to play flute. So Dave can really work with you on that, on an individual level.
That's great. And then Rolando Pisana on guitar.
Fantastic guitarist in the Brazilian style and Afro-Cuban music as well. So one of the things that we deal with at the camp is that we just don't play Afro-Cuban based music. We get to do Brazilian music. Last year we got to do some music using rhythms from Venezuela, like joropo, etc.
Wow.
So, and also Puerto Rican rhythms as well. So it's not just Afro-Cuban music you'll be studying at the camp if you get to come to the camp.
Great. And then finally, on last but not least, on trumpet, Scott McKee.
Oh, Scott is the finest lead trumpet player in Cleveland area. He's also working. He works with every big band that's out there in that area, and also every Broadway show that comes in. So any all the trumpet players will get to really work with him. And you can check him out on, he plays a lot with Dominic Farinacci, you know, in his group.
Mm-hmm.
So he can really, he'll get all, for the trumpet players, it's great for them because they get to work with a real world-class, not only jazz soloist, but lead player as well. And the upper register is always a barrier for young trumpeters, and Scott can help you cross that Rubicon right away. And especially in Latin music, where Afro-Cuban music, which is very strident in the upper register a lot, very powerful. So trumpet players need to get that together if they want to play this style of music. So Scott is the man.
Wow. What an amazing faculty. Yes, I want to encourage everybody, you know, you may have somebody in your family or your community who this might be good for. Let them know about it. If you are connected with a local jazz society, and I know we have a lot of listeners that are, knock on the door and have them listen to this and go to the website and see this, because maybe you might want to sponsor a local student to go to this.
Right, and we do have scholarships available and a need to have basis. We do have discounts, et cetera, et cetera. So don't feel like, oh, I mean, for the average person today, $700 is a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
But it's well worth it. You're going to, you know, when you start, in fact, many people have told Bev and me, I go, you're only charging $700 for this camp? That's ridiculous, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It should be twice as that. Because they're getting three meals a day, and the meals are fantastic. This is a modern campus. Case Western University is a modern campus, and food is excellent. The accommodations are completely modern, air-conditioned. That's where the students will be staying. Of course, they can look online at the Case Western Reserve University website if they want to see what the accommodations look like. And so they'll be in an environment that is conducive to learning every day. But like I said, we start at 9 in the morning and go to about 10 at night. So, you know, it gets pretty intense. And, of course, I deal with all the drummers and the percussionists, so they get one-on-one experience with me. So so you mentioned the faculty, and you can't get any better than what we have at this camp. And it's very, very unique. Some of it's a life-changing experience for some of the kids. Some of the kids have come to the camp just out of pure curiosity. Others have come because their high school band director, they played one Latin thing, especially the drummers, but the high school band director really couldn't help them with the intricacies of the rhythms and the knowledge required to perform the music authentically. So they've heard about the camp and they've come, and when they go back to the camp, they're teaching the other kids in their own high school bands about the music and how it's supposed to be performed authentically, et cetera, et cetera. So it's a great thing because the kids, in a sense, pay it forward themselves.
I can totally see that. I can see them being transformed and come and bringing some of that sabor back to the band. And where how else are they going to get it? Because, you know, as you know, you know better than anybody, this music is not taught. I've heard this said, and I think it's fair to say, it's easier for a Latin-trained musician to learn jazz than a jazz-trained musician to play teclave. So getting this exposure early in your career could be invaluable for somebody.
Yeah, Tito used to say that all the time. And Dizzy Gillespie used to say, the most important aspect of rhythm, the most important aspect of music is rhythm, not harmony and melody, because harmony and melody is all good, but if you don't have any rhythm, how are you going to perform the songs or anything, whether it's classical music or heavy metal or anything, any other style of music? So studying Latin music, particularly Afro-Cuban and Brazilian music, and then other genres like Puerto Rican, Venezuelan, et cetera, Colombian music, and all the other rhythms and genre styles from the different Latin American countries, fine-tunes your rhythmic sense to a high degree. So once you get into this side of the music, then the rest is pretty easy, because in jazz, most students are always concentrating on studying harmony, constantly studying harmony, how to circumnavigate chord changes. And with Afro-Cuban music, you're studying how to circumnavigate clave. And then you're dealing with different time signatures too, like besides 4-4, 2-4, three-quarter time. In Venezuelan music, especially, three-quarter time is very big. In 6-8 meter, also in Afro-Cuban music, 12-8, etc. So you learn how to read in these time signatures and being comfortable in them. The rest is pretty simple.
Yeah, there's a discipline and variety in Latin music rhythmically that, you know, you're just not going to find anywhere else. I mean, you know, it's rich. It's really rich. So if somebody wants
I hate to cut you off. I just don't want to lose the thought. It's because we have that connection. Our branch of the music is closer to the trunk in Africa than any other branch. So we have that direct. People talk, well, the roots of the music are always Africa. And I always say, well, the roots of all civilization is in Africa. But in terms of musically, we're closer to the trunk. So, and this camp, it's been long overdue. Its time has come, you know. I mean, I hate to say it, but the jazz community always treats Latin music and Latin musicians that play jazz as kind of like stepchildren. Or trivialize it, the music's importance as a footnote in history. And it's the opposite. It's the reverse. If it wasn't for all the things that happened in Cuba, Puerto Rico, the Dominican Republic, Haiti, Central and South America, jazz wouldn't really exist today. It all comes together in New Orleans, but we never get credit for that. Or if we do, it's trivialized. So this camp reverses that equation.
That's why we're so happy to put a spotlight on it today. You know, we have to go back to Jelly Roll Morton, and I can't remember the exact words he used, but he said, if you're going to play jazz correctly, it has to have a Spanish tinge. Now, people are confused by what he meant by that. He meant an Afro-Caribbean beat. That's what he meant. And
definitely.
There aren't that many Spanish people in New Orleans. I mean, there was a lot of Latin influence in New Orleans, but not people from Spain so much. And you know, it's just like we call, you know, sometimes used to call El Barrio Spanish Harlem. Well, there weren't people from Spain. I mean, there might have been a few, but we're talking about people that spoke Spanish, that were from the islands, that had this close connection to African music and African culture. So really, if you've got somebody out there in your life who you think loves jazz, young person, have them look at this, because this will give them an adept at an early age that you just can't get anywhere else. Music educators, band leaders, you know, you might have a kid who loves this stuff. Let him and his family know that this exists, and you can find out more information. We're going to have a link on the page to make it easier for people to click, but the Roberto Acacio Foundation.org. And we're going to have all that information there. Bobby, thanks so much for taking the time to explain this to us. This is an amazing cultural resource, and we hope that everyone that listens to this will do their part and spread the word about it so so that more people in the jazz community, A, know about it, B, know how good this program is, and C, know how important it is to a complete jazz education. This is not a, I don't, this is not a sideline. This is not some exotic, you know, thing. This is, goes right to the core and heart of our music, and that we have, that, that young people have an opportunity to go and get a deep exposure from these kind of seasoned professionals. Wow. I mean, what, it just doesn't get better, from my point of view. So, Bob, thank you so much.
I thank you. I just want to say also that, we've had people as guests, lecturers, and to come in to talk to the kids, people like Eddie Palmieri, who's a 9-time Grammy Award winner.
Wow.
And he's also National Endowment of the Arts Jazz Master. We've had Candido, the great
Wow.
National Endowment of the Arts Jazz Master, as a guest also. David Amram,
Wow.
Who's worked not only as Hollywood film composer, but also as a world-renowned conductor of symphony orchestras and a world-renowned orchestral composer, but he's also a world-renowned jazz musician as well. David Amram, incredible French horn player and multi-instrumentalist. And last year we had the U.S. Army Jazz Ambassadors Big Band as a guest. So we always have a surprise guest every year. And when we have the kids come in and they see, they get to meet these masters or get to interact with people like the U.S. Army Jazz Ambassadors, it's always a fantastic thing. So they're not going to get any better instruction at any camp in terms of this style of music. And we just, and obviously part of this, the instruction is that they have to become knowledgeable as jazz soloists. So we, there's a lot of instruction in terms of improv and theory in terms of improvising in the jazz tradition, knowing theory and harmony, et cetera, on a very, you know, hardcore level. So when you have this incredible rhythmic vocabulary from Latin music combined with this incredible harmonic vocabulary from the world of jazz, well, you really have a modern-day musician, and that's what we're training at this camp. We want to just also say that don't be intimidated if the students have not been playing that long. They can still attend the camp. We have a theory test. We see what level they're at, and we place them accordingly. But the camp is, again, from grades, freshman in high school to senior in high school. And for more information and an application, you can go to, as Ken said, RobertoOcasioFoundation.org. That's Roberto, and then Ocasio, O-C-A-S-I-O, Foundation.org. So RobertoOcasioFoundation.org, and the phone number to call if they want to call and personally speak to the executive director, Bev Monti, is 440-572-2048. That's 440-572-2048. The price of the camp is only $700, 3 meals a day, room and board, as we would say. They get to stay in modern facilities at Case Western Reserve University in Cleveland, Ohio. We use the modern facilities in the music department right there. So we'll hope to see many of the parents and the kids there in the camp. Oh, I forgot to say the dates of the camp. The dates of the camp are June 25th. Through the 30th, June 25th, okay, through the 30th of this year. So you have enough time to get your application in and start the process. It's June 25th through the 30th.
Great, great. Well, as soon as we do the audio stuff we have to do on the interview, we're going to post this, mail it to everybody. And really, everybody who's listened this far, you already understand how valuable this is. Be an ambassador for us, and you know, if you're a member of a local jazz society, let them know about this. If you know the local jazz educators, especially at the schools, let them know about it. If you have a young person in your family, at least let them know that this is a possibility for them. Again, Bobby said it, I'll say it too. I wish I was in high school. I'd be signing up for this tomorrow or today. Well, great. Thanks again, Bobby. We're going to have all the links on the page below and some of the videos that Bobby referred to. And Bobby, could you hang around for just a minute after the recording stops? I have a questions about a couple of things not related to the camp.
Sure, no problem.
Okay.
Thanks again for the opportunity to share the knowledge.
Our pleasure. We were talking with Bobby Sanabria, who among all the other things he does is the artistic director of the Roberto Ocasio Foundation Jazz Summer Camp, one of the great, important educational institutions in our music. All right, Bobby, thanks for talking, and I'll be right back with you.